everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of Horror, Blood, and Coffee. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with the awesome, beautiful, talented Samantha Marie. How are you doing, Samantha?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing great. How are you doing, Moody?
I'm doing fantastic. And playing his video game over there is Mr. Awesome as well. Derek Huey. How are you doing, Derek?
Yeah, you can't pry the controller out of his hand.
I know, like I get that. I see that on Facebook all the time. It's just him playing video games. But it's okay. It's understandable. And hey, we're gonna, you know, it's mainly gonna be you and me, I think, Sam, talking about this stuff. But I know Derek will have a few things that he's gonna want to make sure gets mentioned, you know.
Chronically, he concentrates better while playing video games, or so really? He says, or so he's trained me.
Well, I mean, do you believe that? Do you actually believe that?
I don't, I mean, coming with a child that has ADHD, I think so.
Right.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot less snapping involved.
Okay, good. All right, well, let's get to it then. We decided to do, since this was about Christmas time, it's a little after Christmas, but that's fine.
It's still the holiday season until the new year.
Yeah, and this will be on the new year, so there you go. Last of the holiday season. You gotta end it with Black Christmas. And all the Black Christmases, actually. So we're gonna talk about the original, the remake, and the reboot, is what I'm calling them. Because, you know, I don't know. Is technically it a reboot? Is it a remake? I don't know.
I read remake. Okay. So I guess we should call them by what, the year? So like we'll call them what, like 74 is Black Christmas, 06 is Black Christmas, and 19 is Black Christmas?
Yeah. But yeah, because I mean, remake, reboot felt like more like it, because there was no Billy in the reboot, you know, one. And it's almost like they just took the name Black Christmas and did their own thing with it. So,
you know who it was? I just have one word to say: Blumhouse.
Right, exactly. Okay. Which this is our last Blumhouse movie of the year, and maybe the last one that we'll do for a while, I hope.
I mean, between COVID and Blumhouse, like, I'm over this year. God.
You started with Invisible Man and we're ending with Black Christmas, you know? So
yeah, I don't know.
It'll be a new slate in 2021, which I think would be good.
I feel like we should, I don't know. Do we start with the most recent one, or do we start with the OG?
Let's talk with the original one, the OG. Let's talk about that first. So
yeah, I have more to say about that one than the rest of them.
Really? I thought okay, first of all, you surprised the hell out of me when you told me that the original one bored you.
Oh, so. God, it does. I mean, like, it's cringy to say it, but, you know, for example, we watched, what did we watch last night? We watched The Host, right?
Yeah.
Seen The Host?
Is it the new one? Because there's two hosts. So
it's on Shudder. It's brand new.
It's a
quarantine one, right? Yeah, it's a quarantine one.
Okay. Let me tell you. So I watched that very, we didn't like, you know, care about it. It was like just kind of like a movie to go to bed in. And that movie scare, I mean, there was like a good three times that I literally screamed out loud, like jump scare. That's my kind of horror movie. Like, I want to be scared, whether it's like, you know, a good jump scare. I'm not talking like the cheesy, like, you know, cheap jump scares, but I got to feel something. And, you know, I hate to say it, but the OG Black Christmas, it just was boring to me, you know. Mm-hmm. It's old. It looks old. I don't know. I didn't find it scary. I mean, maybe at most I could use the word eerie. Like, there was some eerie feelings and like
creepy
shots.
Moments.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the eeriest thing was like just the cover, you know.
I think the creepiness is supposed to be because he's inside, he's inside the bay or the attic the entire time. He can attack at any moment. But yeah, right. Just like Sam says, it doesn't do it for me either. Like, we were watching it the other day and I was just so fucking bored. Like, and then they like try and say, you know, oh, it's better than Halloween. Fuck no.
No, 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 no. Anybody who ever says that is, yeah, that's no.
They've
that's...
never, yeah, they don't know. They're like, I know, like, a lot of people call Black Christmas, like, you know, one of the OG slasher films. But however, even the director doesn't refer to it as a slasher. He refers to it as a psychological horror, which I would agree with. I would not call it a slasher.
I would definitely go with psychological thriller because it is more, okay, so what I really liked about it, rewatching it again, is I forgot that it was one of the first of its Babysitter and the Man Upstairs, you know, urban yeah. legends. So I thought that was pretty cool because that's always been one of my favorite urban legends. So like re-seeing that where they're like, the killer is coming from inside, the call is coming from inside the house, you know, and having that play out before they made When a Stranger Calls, which was like, supposedly a lot of people consider that the first time they did it, and it's not. Like Black Christmas was the first time they ever actually did that, and I think that's a really cool that was a really cool bit for it. All in all, I can see where it would be really boring. It's 70s, it's a different time period, things were slower then, you know, there's a lot more trying to do character development. But even the character development, like Olivia Hussey's character was so boring, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing really that interesting about her as a character, you know. And this is what I'm gonna say about every single movie, or every single one. I mean, even the 2006 with Katie Cassidy. I love Katie Cassidy. I have a huge, huge crush on her, and she bored me. Like her character did nothing. Like she was not.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if we're the 2006, the characters, like, I couldn't tell you who was who. Like they tried to stereotype it with, like, they had like the drunk girl and they had like the badass girl and they had like the girl that didn't care. But like at the end of the day, like I couldn't tell you who was who. They all blended together. The acting was so horrible. The writing was horrible. The only thing that I enjoyed about the 2006 version was it had Buffy's sister in it.
Yeah. And even then, like, I felt like that was an excuse for her to curse because before Buffy, she was like the girl from like Inspector Gadget. She was like Penny and she was in, I think, was yeah. she in Pete or something at some point? Like I think she was Pete's little friend in Pete and Adventures of Pete and Pete. So she was like the girl who could not like get away from like being that little girl who, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, same thing with Lacey Chabert, you know, yeah, and her 900 Hallmark.
Wasn't that Harry at the Spy?
Yeah, and her 900 Hallmark, you know, Christmas movie is like, I mean, and if you watch it, like, I didn't realize how many times they said "fuck Christmas" or like "fucking Christmas," or I mean, you know, it was like they really wanted to drill. Like, if we forgot that it was about Christmas, they really were like, you know, driving the point home that it was about Christmas.
Fuck Santa Claus at one point, and I was like, the person said,
"Yeah, they said fuck Christmas something."
They said fuck Santa Claus, and I was like,
"Yeah, where's Krampus when you need him?"
Why would you say
speaking of Krampus?
Yeah. Well, Krampus is like more fun now than any of these style
things. We saw
but
Krampus
then, and,
recently.
Yeah, we just recently watched Krampus, and Krampus for me is one of those movies that the more times I watch it, the more I like it.
Well, that's how I feel.
Black Christmas is the opposite. The more times I watch either whatever version of Black Christmas, I end up like hating it a little bit more.
I didn't like Black Christmas the first time I saw it, and I always thought, what's wrong with
which
it?
One? The OG?
The OG, because everybody was telling me how much of a classic it is. And this was like, you know, young Huey who loved like almost every horror film. And I'm like, man, there must be something wrong with me. I didn't like this at all.
Also, I mean, it was 74 though, you know, I mean, in all reality, I grew up watching horror movies. I wasn't exposed to Black Christmas, the original, when I was younger. I didn't watch Black Christmas original until I was like in my teens. Yeah. Like my mom, you know, my first horror movie was like Nightmare on Elm Street and, you know, like Halloween, like that's what I originally watched. So
right,
I guess my, you know, my introduction was already Halloween, so then like Black Christmas to me was like, it was just really boring because I had originally watched like Halloween.
I mean, well, I've seen a bunch of movies from the 70s that are great, so just saying
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But I will tell you, the first time I watched as a kid, when I was a teenager, and I tried to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning of the movie bored the shit out of me. I mean, just I felt like I just wasn't, you know, wasn't, I was like, something's got to happen. And then it doesn't happen to like 30 minutes in when they get to the house. So like, yeah. I can see where a lot of the 70s, they did try to kind of do something where it would sort of build to the horror. They didn't start until 80s. They didn't really start to kind of make the horror be like, you know, like slasher style screen thing where every 10 minutes there's a kill, you know, which right. is what they do, especially now. Like if you don't have that in your script in a horror movie, you're generally going to lose the audience because people just, they want, you know, right. they want kills every 10 minutes or something.
Well, and it was introduced on TV, you know, I mean, it was a TV. I mean, I know when they were making it, they expected it to be like a movie in the theaters. If you hear screaming, that's just my children. Yeah. We are not killing anybody.
Not yet.
Or are we? But yeah, so it was NBC that originally aired it. And like the most exciting thing to me about this movie probably was like the backstory of this movie. For example, it was originally called Stranger in the House. But NBC had to pull it because there were some sorority students that were actually killed. That was later identified, the killer was actually Ted Bundy. So that's nice. Cool. I was like, that's like the most interesting part to me.
Well, it was also originally, the original title before then was Stop Me. And I'm trying to think, like, how would that fit with it? You like later he called it Black Christmas because, you know, obviously it wanted to be Christmas themed, you know, or whatever, have a Christmas. But,
yeah, well, I also read that it was actually allegedly inspired by real life murders that occurred in Canada from Wayne Bowden, who was also known as the Vampire Rapist, which I wanted to look more into the Vampire Rapist because that sounded really cool, but I didn't get a chance to.
That's so something
you can do later. If anyone has time and they want to look into Vampire Rapist, just comment it, write us a message, or post it on Horror Blood and Coffee and let us know what you find.
Yeah, we want to know about Vampire Rapist, you know.
The initial release in the U.S., it was called Silent Night, Evil Night, because they were worried that it was going to be mistaken for a blaxploitation film. And then it didn't do well. So then they're like, oh, fuck it. Let's just change it back so we can make money.
By the way, was it Vampire Rapist was the name that they said in have you seen The Disaster Artist with James Franco yet? You know,
yeah, he's
like, there's a part where he actually says, because I just rewatched it recently, and he actually is like, you know, he's talking about everybody saying Tommy is this, Tommy is that, or whatever, right? Like he's listening, watching the video playback of people talking behind his back. He's like, I hear you guys. Tommy is Vampire Rapist. Tommy is this. And I'm like, now that you say that, I wonder if that was somehow some kind of thing of where maybe Tommy was the original Vampire Rapist. I don't know. He's old.
I mean, yeah, because that was close to Canada. I mean, yeah, I mean, like, it was a Canadian killer, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I like how two of them were shot in Canada, and the last one, the 19 version, was shot in New Zealand.
Nice. By the way, I am drinking coffee right now. I am drinking Paul got me some, because I got a Keurig coming to the house, to the apartment in LA.
Yeah.
So he got me like these, he had a bunch of K-Pods that he didn't want to, you know, he wasn't going to be drinking. So he gave me a couple, and one of them was called Obsidian, you know, and I was like, let me give that a try before I take them, you know, some of them home, and it tastes good. I don't know what it is, but it's good tasting, you know. So
I'm drinking my Topo Chico, which is my favorite sparkling water.
Nice.
It's delicious.
Sounds delicious.
It really is. It's like one of the most carbonated mineral waters out there. So it's just like a little explosion on your taste buds every drink.
Nice. It does, and it looks like a beer too.
I know, right? It's just like water.
I mean, I was like, hey, if you want to drink a beer while you're on the show, go right ahead.
I mean, it is three. I used to drink tequila before, so.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere because it's like 4 o'clock here, so whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So
technically, it's always after 5 o'clock.
Back to the 74 version.
That's the joke.
I guess what I liked, if I had to say I liked something about it,
What?
I like the cover. I like the cover. I thought that was
which
pretty
one
cool.
Which one?
The 1974 one. The cover what was it? Claire, wasn't it? Claire, like with being suffocated. Yeah, the bag overhead. Yeah.
And I liked. I actually really, really liked John Saxon in the movie. I thought he was good. You know, it was cool to see him play that role, like play basically the same role that he ended up playing in Nightmare on Elm Street. And I'm wondering if they had done that, like other than giving him more of a character in that, but like kind of did that after seeing Black Christmas, you know, was Wes. Yeah. I always wonder if Wes Craven was a fan of Black Christmas, you know, and was like, hey, let's get John. He's a veteran, you know, he's been in horror films before and stuff, and asked him to come in here. So
that was funny part about John.
What?
The Black Christmas was a film that ruined his career. Before Black Christmas, he was like going up and up and up the ladder. After Black Christmas, nothing but shitty Italian movies and horror movies ever since.
Oh, poor damn. John. Yeah, poor John.
Oh, we did watch that, right? Didn't we? We watched something that was like
horror movies that ruined their career.
Yeah.
Wow. Was that a documentary or something? Or
kind of, yeah. And John was on it. And they were on a first name basis.
Yeah.
They were talking about how Black Christmas ruined his career. And I'm like, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, I can see that now.
Yeah. It's so silly, though, how horror movies do that. I don't know.
Well, even like comedies can do that too. I mean, look at some comedies that just like tank so badly that they're just like, you know what? Or even like go to dramas like Live by Night or whatever, the movie that Ben Affleck directed. It did so badly that he was fired from Warner Brothers for directing. You know, he couldn't direct anything after that. So that almost killed his career. Could have killed his career. Because of that shit.
It's weird because Ben Affleck actually makes some pretty fucking good movies.
I haven't seen Live by Night yet, but I got it for a dollar at the Dollar Tree, so definitely gonna be checking it out.
Didn't he also make Geely or whatever?
He made Town and, what was
it? I know he acted in Geely. I don't think he directed it.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Ben who? I don't know. I think that's it. That's all I got to say about the 1974 version.
You didn't like you didn't like Margot Kidder or Olivia Hussey in the film?
I don't not like
girl
them.
From fucking Superman. Like,
I don't not like
Trump
them.
The entire time. Like who? Well, yeah, the only part I like is the fucking, what do you call it, the mother, the house mother, who just, like, finds all the girls' stash around
No,
the
it's not their stash, it's her stash.
I thought it was, like, the girls' hiding
No,
stash.
She hides hooch everywhere.
That was cool.
In the toilet, in books, I mean, she just pulls it out of everywhere. I do like, okay, so I guess my favorite, one of my favorite kills is when, yeah, the old drunk lady.
Oh, that was cool, though.
Was being stabbed in bed, and it kept going from her being stabbed to, like, kids caroling, and it was all, I mean, that's the kind of, like, twisted stuff that I like to see.
Yeah, that was good. That was pretty funny, and then, just the idea that somebody is dying while people are just listening to carols, you know, happen at the same time. That was cool. I don't know. I honestly, all in all, I found it to be, there were some weird scenes too. Like, there was a scene with the people that were just like on the, like looking for the, you know, the search party, and
yeah.
the two guys come into the house or go to the house, and the girls are trying to get them to go. Like, we don't want you here, go away. And they're just like going, oh, we just got a couple more questions. We got to, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, why is this scene in this movie? Like, this does nothing to the plot of the film. This just, I guess, padding for the, you know what I mean? Like, it just felt weird. But Bob Clark, who directed this, did a few good horror films. He did Children Don't Play With Dead Things or something like that.
And Christmas Story. That's a
Well, he
movie.
Did that afterwards. Hey, I like Christmas Story.
And Porky's.
Oh, yeah.
Also, didn't he do like Baby's Day Out or something? Or was that John Hughes? Those guys.
John Hughes fucking lost his shit.
Yeah, I don't know where he started. So
I do like the fact though that with this one they didn't really tell us a lot about Billy. Like there was no, you know, we didn't really know too much. Unlike the 2006 version where we know way too much.
We know his sister. We know who he is. We know that he's got yellow skin.
I mean, I feel like with the 2006 version, they're like, well, what was the 74 version lacking? Incest, check. Like, ew.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird.
Yeah, some jaundice. Like, let's throw in some jaundice. It's like, I don't, like, that doesn't scare me. That just makes me want to treat him.
Well, there was also, like, yeah, Agnes was also his dad or something. Mm-hmm. Because she called him his dad at one point.
He fathered Agnes because his mom raped him, and then he fathered Agnes.
Oh, you Lord, good Lord. It was honestly, okay, so it was funny because you told me that you had written to me yesterday that the 1976 movie bored you, or whatever, 1974 movie bored you. And then I was watching the 2006 movie going, this bores the shit out of me. Like, I at least could suffer through the first one, you know, and then sort of enjoy it for what it was. But like the 2006 movie, having been you know, big fan of Glenn Morgan, who wrote, he was one of the writers on Final Destination. You know, it was kind of a bummer that this was the movie he directed, you know?
Well, like, it's funny whatever. Too about Final Destination is this movie, the 2006 one, was actually marketed in Japan as a sequel to Final Destination.
That is weird.
That is weird. That
even works, but all right. You know, because it's not connected at all. Like,
I know, but it was like, I guess the trailer that was released in Japan, because I did watch it, it had all the death scenes, like when the lady gets like impaled by the icicle.
Yeah.
So it has like literally it does. Like it looks like Final Destination. I was like,
I know, wow, I get it. I mean, I saw that and I said that looked like a Final Destination scene with the icicle. Yeah. I was like, I felt like that might have been a cut from another Final Destination movie they just decided to for here instead. But it honestly, all in all, if Glenn Morgan didn't direct it, I wouldn't have like at all thought it was anything like Final Destination. And
yeah,
it had,
I mean, I thought the 2006 one was better in a way, just because it was funny. Like, I mean, I found a lot, I mean, it wasn't supposed to be funny, but I found a lot of comical aspects about it that, you know, like first, like Santa.
Funny.
Well, no, yeah, it was just a lot of like, huh? Like Michael Myer head turn moments. Like when, like Santa shows up in the loony bin, like who thought that that was a good idea to have all these crazy people and then a guy dressed like Santa hanging out in the loony bin. And then I guess Santa was there because he was lost because he was trying to find the kids ward. And I'm like, okay, why is the kids ward next to the crazy? It was all so silly.
It was not just that. It was also like, he was like lurking around for a while. Like normally when you're lost and you say I'm lost, so people go, okay, that's how you get out. Right. Like that's, and then he was like, oh my God, is that Billy? You know, I didn't think Billy was still alive, you know, and then.
Yeah, and then they proceed to give us the backstory. Exposition. Right?
I know.
And then the guard goes in there and they can't find Billy. But they didn't, you know, it's just so funny. And then Billy's like, what, hiding under the bed or some crap and comes out and kills people and escapes. Like,
I got a little confused too, because the the flashbacks didn't seem to like, okay, so. When they flash back to like the 1970s or whatever, when the original Billy stuff was happening, it didn't, they didn't look any different than the 1990s or 2000 and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, so a lot of times they would flash back to like maybe the girls or something, and I'd still think they were in the 70s. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I'm back in the 2006. Like I didn't understand some of that stuff kind of like confused me after a little bit.
Well, I think that was, I know the director and the producers and everything clashed a lot. So I think that's, we saw that. Yeah, we saw that clashing. Like the Weinsteins wanted more blood and gore and, you know,
Glenn. I forgot it was a dimension film.
The Weinsteins wanted blood, gore, and more blowjobs, damn it.
Yeah. So I just think when you have conflicting, you know, end results, this is what you get. You get like just kind of like weird stuff that doesn't make sense necessarily.
That's true.
Because it's pretty selfish. I mean, it's selfish to the audience because then we get stuck with it. You know, like Weinstein got what he wanted, Glenn got what he wanted, but then, like, you know, the product was Agnes, like the bastard child is what we were stuck with. So it's really not fair to us.
You know, what's funny is the last movie we did was also a Dimension movie, which was the last ones we did were Halloween 6. And, you know, that also got bastardized, remember? Like, we have two different cuts because of that. Maybe there should have been two different cuts of this instead of the
I mean, like, I know there was alternate endings. I didn't really, I mean, I know there was different versions, like the UK version and the US versions. I didn't really, like, look up too much into it because I just didn't really care that much. It was hard. This one was hard for me because, like, I didn't really like any of it, so I just wasn't really invested in all three of them. So I do know that, I guess, in one version they say cunt. I don't remember if that was, I think it might have been the 74 version, which saying cunt was a big deal, and they actually cut it out of, like, the UK version. Of course the US version kept it because, you know, we're cool like that.
Wait, hold on. Now I'm, like, mixing all the movies together, but it was it the, because I remember, like, the 70s one, didn't they say cunt a lot? Like, or was it the 2006 one?
The 2006 one, they said a lot of, like, curse words and stuff. The 74 one didn't, but it was, like, you know, for the 74 era, like, saying cunt was a big deal.
Yeah, because I remember hearing that word used a lot, like, back to back in one of the things. Now I'm getting them mixed up because I watched them all sort of last night, you know, like yesterday, like the whole day.
I know it is. They get even though they're so different for the most part, they're still get, I get confused. That's why I had to write out notes. Cause I was like, except for the 2019, I don't get confused with that one. Cause it's like not even really Black Christmas.
It's not Black Christmas. It shouldn't have been entitled Black Christmas.
No, you know, the funny thing is about the Black Christmas, the 19 version, Blumhouse. So the director, Sophia Takal, I don't even know if that's how you really pronounce it, but so she was actually the first female director hired by Blumhouse and probably the last. She ruined it.
Go make it some money, female director. Okay.
Yeah, and Sophia's really not known for, like, anything else, and I see why.
Well,
I hate to say it because, you know me, I'm all, like, for female empowerment and everything, but, like, man, she's sucked.
Okay.
Hey, the movie was female empowered.
And the movie, I know. And I mean,
Okay. So it was in a very feministic, nasty way.
Anna Sarkeesian made a movie.
I don't even want to call it a feminist movie because that actually gives feminists, like, a bad name. Like, that would be called, it's like a man-hating movie. And that's not, feminism isn't about man-hating. But this movie is literally about man-hating. Like, they actually say man-hating, like, 20 times.
Yeah, and like, it's so funny because there's that one scene in the movie where the two, I guess the couple that are there or whatever.
They fight.
Well, I thought that guy was gay. I was like, wait, that guy's dating her? Like, literally, he was very feminine, you know? And I was like, I didn't get it. I thought, because at first he was going, why are you saying all men are rapists? Blah, blah, blah. I'm not a rapist. I'm like, of course you're not a rapist. You're gay. It's okay.
Right?
And then he goes, and then he was talking to her and everything. And they get into this huge fight because they were a couple. And I go, wait, what? Hold on. Like, this does not feel right. Like, I felt like this was a completely different thing. Like, had that guy been, like, you know, said that, and they're like, oh, of course you're not a rapist, you're gay, like, I think that would have been hilarious and sort of, like, probably redeemed a few things. But no, he was literally a straight dude who just was played by probably a gay guy and just could not play straight. That would be my guess. Or something. It was terrible. Like, people have told me a lot of people have said that movie is terrible. Don't watch it. It's a man-hating movie. And I wanted to like it. I wanted to be the only person to like it. And now I'm not the only person. I've actually got a couple people on my post that are defending the movie for whatever reason. But here's the thing. Like, I mean, whether you like it or not, it's a very man-hating movie. It has an agenda, and it sticks to it completely all the way to the end of the movie. I, including the traitorous chick, you know, who's supposed to be like, you know, one of the group, and she betrays them so that she could live, you know, and everything.
Yeah, we all have that friend. We all have that friend in life. Every woman who's listening to this, all two of you, you know what I'm talking about.
All two of you. Are you saying that my show is man-hating? Our show is man-hating?
No, I just meant like, I meant just like there's only two people watching it. Or listening to it. But no, I don't know how you could defend this movie. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's such a negative message, actually. And like, I mean, I get where they were trying to go with it, but they failed, and they just made it into such a negative, nasty message. I don't like it.
I got cringy when they were doing, right before they did the song, which actually, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of like the song, the up on the frat house song that they have or whatever. Yeah. It was catchy, you know, for a song that was to call somebody out. Like, I got it. I liked it. It was very Mean Girls.
It was very like scene from Mean Girls.
Exactly. Like, literally, this would be what the Mean Girls would do if they did, you know, whatever. And that did not bother me whatsoever. But when they were like, the girls of blah, blah, blah are going to do it, and they go, women. And I'm like, that is that one chick just drove this movie to like, and I hate saying it because this is going to sound very racist, but it's the black chick who had who reminds me of all those people who just are so politically correct and everything has to be like, okay, I'll tell you something that happened. There was a guy, we have a school, my elementary school, Rawls Byrd, right? Rawls Byrd owned slaves, right? And he was the, all of a sudden now it's no longer Rawls Byrd because the school board and everybody went against it and said, we can't have a guy who owns slaves being the name of our school, right? This is the stuff I hate now. Like, this is driving me nuts. It's like, we're getting to a place where we can't have any history whatsoever because it's not allowed if it involves something that happened years ago that was beyond our control, you know, or whatever.
I think it would be weird to be a black kid going to a school that's named after somebody who owns slaves. I'd be like, well, this is awkward. I know exactly what to expect.
I don't think it's
taken away history to rename stuff. Like, the history's still there.
I mean, this is a very touchy subject we're coming into. And I mean, it's like nobody wins when people talk about this.
Yeah.
I don't think I have. I mean, like I said, I don't know how somebody would act who's not white because I'm white. But I mean, I can probably get an idea that might be a little uncomfortable. Like fucking going to like Robert E. Lee school or whatever, and it's like, well, this is awkward.
Yeah, I just don't have a lot of experience with it because I live in Creve Coeur in the Midwest. It's not very diverse.
No black people. There's like one, I know his name.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, as much as I do have an opinion, I feel like I try not to talk about it too much because I guess in the broad scheme of things, I don't really have enough knowledge to talk about it. So, yeah. Like I can say cunt, but if we talk, like only little things, like little amounts of things make me uncomfortable, and I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think we might. I might have to do some editing.
Of all the subjects, like of everything I've ever said in my whole life, I'm just like, I think that's the first time I've ever said I'm uncomfortable in the show.
We've talked about a lot of shit.
It takes a lot. Edit. Anyways, But no, I get what you were saying. I mean, just to bring this train wreck back, they were stereotyping, yes. And that, I hate it. I mean, they were stereotyping certain characters that way. And that's not very empowering to me. Like, it's the opposite, which kind of like is the whole thing of this movie where I hate it is because like, I see what they were trying to do, but they failed miserably.
Right. No, I get it. It's
because you know me. Anybody that knows me, I'm all for empowering women. And I'm all for like giving women strong parts where they don't have to like take their boobs out to, you know, feel important. But I don't like it because they're empowering women by degrading men And that's not fair either. So I can't be behind this movie because, like, I don't think all men are stupid or evil or rapists or...
Also, word up to the trailer, which gave away almost the entire movie.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they was actually, they got an award for that. And also they got the award for being, like, one of the worst movies. So, or one of the worst remakes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
But I guess like when I'm talking about 2019 Black Christmas, I want to like just say I'm sorry to the 2006 remake that I bashed so much when I first watched it. Cause now with that one, it really makes you think like, oh, well, the 2006 remake was like awesome compared to this remake.
Okay. So with that being said, which one so far is your actual favorite? I know. It's like, that's like picking your favorite enemy, you know?
I don't know. I mean, so the 2006 one, it can't be because like, there's so much about everything I hate. Like the 2006 one, I thought the writing and the acting, I thought the backstory, it was like I guess if I had to pick, it would be the OG simply for, I feel like they made the 2006 one. They're like, hey, let's make this, but like, let's make this the most unbelievable movie we can make. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did by adding just all the backstory and the jaundice and the incest. And they just made it.
Right.
So if I had to pick, it would be the OG, which I hate to say it because it bored the crap out of me. And having to rewatch it. Well, I mean, I feel like I'm going to get kicked out of the horror club by saying, like, I don't want to say I hate it, but I don't like it, and I don't want to watch it again.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I don't think you would get kicked out of the horror club because I don't think, I think a lot of people feel the same way as you do. Like, even Derek, who is a huge horror snob when it comes to things. I mean, you know, like Derek doesn't like it, you don't like it. I think have you talked to Troy about it? Because
Troy loves it.
Troy loves
it. We can't talk to Troy. Yeah. Troy gets like his inspiration.
We like shot scenes in his
movie. Tell me he doesn't like the new one, right? Please tell me he at least, you know.
I don't know. I'd like to get a different version. You know, I mean, I really wish I would have got a hold of Troy because I think Troy would have been a good person to have on this.
Yeah.
Because to have different views, you know, as Troy being a gay man, it would be interesting to see his take on the new
right.
One. It really would be.
I know my favorite Black Christmas.
Which one?
2019.
What?
It's so entertainingly bad. It's like you go in, you have a few beers, you laugh the entire way because it's so fucking dumb, and this message it tries to shove down your throat. Like, I just found it to be entertaining as all hell. I watched it, was just having a goddamn fun time.
I mean, we did giggle a lot when because we did watch a review on YouTube about the 2019 one. And they kept saying Imogene Poots was the best thing about it. And we were just giggling every time they said Imogene Poots. And that was like the best thing about the whole movie was just Imogene Poots. And not even because of her acting, but just because of her name.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know. Like, it's like the world is at stake. And there's like supernatural stuff in it.
Oh yeah,
like,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, the whole world is at stake in the new Black Christmas movie. It is insanely entertaining.
I forgot about the supernatural aspect because I feel like they didn't really they just threw it in at last minute.
It was like the last 20 minutes they started.
Yeah, they didn't really go much into it, right? Into detail about explaining. I feel like they just like threw it at us and it was like, oh, we're ending now. Because I forgot.
I thought out of all the Black Christmases, easily the best one.
I was disappointed with it though, like because you see the guy, you see the founder, I guess, in spirit, you know, in human form with the mask on. He's the one who just like snaps people's necks like real freaking quick and everything. And I was like, why don't they take his fucking mask off? I want to see that guy, you know, like the one that the founder, you know, statue, whatever. I want to see him as a, you know, but they didn't even do that. They left him out. And I was like, oh, what a waste. And what a waste to Cary Elwes, honestly. Like, he is such, like, I've loved him ever since Princess Bride. And here he is as this, like, stupid professor who, I guess, almost gets fired so he decides to start a cult of frat guys.
I mean, hey, Carrie's got to eat too. I mean, it's Slim Pickens out there now, so
yes.
He's like, I'll do it.
They're like, well, he wasn't even a lead, but like, I guess, I mean, they always have to have, Blumhouse always has to have at least one really, really big name that's not the lead actor, right? So somebody else in there. And so they picked, I mean, Carrie, I mean, was pretty decent of an actor there. I mean, he didn't bother me acting wise. Nothing bothered me acting wise. It was the writing that just bothered me the whole time.
So, remember at the end when all the girls came into the room and started kicking ass?
Yeah, and that should have really been a scene where you were like, yeah, but for me, it was like a scene where I just rolled my eyes and I was like, ugh.
As soon as that door opened, they were all there.
I thought the black girl died, so I was like, where the hell did she come from? You know, like I
didn't even realize she died. That's the thing, is I was so uninvested in these characters. Like, I couldn't tell you who lived, who died. I don't know.
I don't know either.
They should have all died. It would have been a better movie for me if everybody would have just died. Like Carrie, like just like the doors lock and everybody just burns to death. Like, that would have been cool.
Yeah, like she's like, fuck you girls, I'm gonna let you all die too. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the director, that Sophia, she hasn't done anything since, so I think we know.
She never will again.
She'll never. Yeah.
I think her career went up with that fire at the end.
Get out of here, Sophia.
Blumhouse is like, no more female directors. We remembered what happened last time.
I mean, bring Weinstein back. Like, God. Let's just piss off everybody in this podcast.
Right, we're Weinstein, then we got,
hey, say what you Blumhouse. Will about Weinstein, but the burning was dope.
The burning was pretty good. That's probably the best thing he's ever given us, you know, one of the best things.
There's a joke there somewhere, but I am not gonna go there.
Don't go there, Sam. But all in all, so
every Christmas is a white Christmas.
I swear, though, I'll always say that the first one was my favorite. I can't, even as terribly bad and everything, the new Black Christmas just made me angry most of the time, you know, and after a while just hated it, you know.
Yeah, it was hard. It was cringy. It was hard to sit through.
2006 was just too boring for me, and I couldn't get through it.
And ridiculous.
The original just had enough cool shit in it. That like still got me, you know, to like it.
I agree.
And you, like you said, it was like more subtle with the, you didn't know Billy's backstory. You didn't need to.
You didn't even really see him. Like, all you saw was like his eyeball. Like, yeah. they kept him like in the shadow, and it was a lot of like point of view shots.
And like the lighting kind of made him look a little like he might have had jaundice or whatever, but you never knew that, and that was never like a part of his story.
No, it was never talked about. Jaundice wasn't introduced until the 2006 one. Right. Jaundice and incest.
Yeah.
That's what they needed. They're like, what do we need? Incest and jaundice.
And we need more story about his mother, which I actually thought was really cool, because it reminded me of Psycho in the original Black Christmas, because there you got Norman Bates, who's like, thinks he's hearing his mother talk to him, you know, or whatever, you know, and he's yelling at his mother. And then you've got Billy, who is using his mother's voice when he's on the phone, like, you know, Billy, blah, 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 you know, right?
So Billy actually used four voices. He used the voice of his mom, dad, himself, and Agnes. That was the four voices that he used.
Was that in the original?
In the 74 one, yeah.
Yeah, wow. I didn't hear Agnes. But
there was a scene where he was himself and then he turned into Agnes, or he turned into his mom. I don't remember. He was himself and then he turned into a female voice. So I don't know if it was Agnes or his mom, but I did look that up because I do remember it being different voices.
That's crazy. That's awesome. I like the OG for that, you know, so that'll be my favorite. It'll go in order of latest. And so that means I'm hoping that if they do another one, they do another remake, somebody gets the rights to Black Christmas, because I guarantee you they're not going to do anything with it for a while, and they're going to lose the rights again to it.
We're going to do a L&M version of Black Christmas.
Really? That would be cute.
No, I just said that.
Ellen has a drinking problem, so then she like has a liver disease. And she turns.
Yeah, we're gonna cut the incest part out.
That would be a good idea.
We'll keep the drinking.
You can keep the drinking, but the incest might be a little too much.
Yeah, no movie really needs the incest.
Nope. You never hear a person say, "You know what would make this movie better? Incest."
but it still didn't. Again, one of those second movies that just was cringy because of incest.
Like there was never. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Incest is never best.
Okay. You keep coming in and out real quick. I don't know if it's the mic or something, but
I think it's just my computer. It's ashamed of this podcast. It's like, no.
This is like the worst episode in a way. Like not the worst, but you know what I mean? Like it's like the worst one for us to do because we just
I know. Really... I gotta pick the next one.
You get to pick the next one, so I'm excited for what you gotta say. So let's go into some movie news or something. There's not really much going on right now as far as horror films being made in or coming out soon. I know the new Halloween won't come out to Halloween of next year or this year, you know, or 2021. What are you, Derek, what are you most excited for horror-wise?
I mean, is there anything to be excited about? I mean, that's a hard question. There's like nothing really that excites. I mean, there's nothing really coming out because of COVID and stuff. You don't really hear about any new horror movie. I guess Halloween would be it, but that's like, who knows what, you know, like.
Yeah, I wish they would have just released Halloween when they were supposed to.
Because I don't see this. I mean, in October, maybe the vaccines will be out, but I don't see like. I don't see movie theaters returning back to normal.
It's gonna be years.
At least like 3 years at least for
people. If they ever do. I mean
I love what HBO Max is doing. I am in full support of that. I understand why people are pissed off, but it's like, what are you gonna do? Just release your movie to the fucking theaters where nobody's gonna see it? Or are you gonna hold on to it until like nobody gives a shit about it anymore?
So I'm gonna read you the ones that are coming out in 2021. Halloween Kills, obviously we talked about that. The new Conjuring movie is coming out.
Didn't even know there was a new one.
What is it? The Devil Made Me Do It is what it's called. Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. The Forever Purge is coming out, so another purge.
Word.
A movie called Spiral. A movie called Morbius.
That's a superhero movie. Morbius or Mobius or whatever.
It was Morbius, I guess.
I forget. It's the vampire from the Spider-Man universe.
Oh, okay. Cool. Then there's Army of the Dead. Zack Snyder is doing Army of the Dead. So the guy that gave us Dawn of the Dead, you know. So I don't know. I guess that's in the same of the dead universe or whatever. Candyman, the new one.
I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, that should have been out already.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed out though. But they're waiting for theaters, which is ridiculous.
I know they're stupid. They shouldn't. They're not gonna make the money.
Yeah, you're gonna wait forever. Nobody's gonna give a shit about. Like by the time theaters return back to normal, like it's gonna be way too late. It's gonna be like I said, it's going to be at least 3 years before movie theaters return back to normal. That's even if they do.
Right. Next is Don't Breathe 2. Apparently that got a sequel. There's going to be a Wrong Turn remake.
I did see a trailer for that, like an early trailer. It did. Actually, the trailer was, I was excited. I mean, it's probably going to suck, but the trailer made it look like it may not.
There's a new Resident Evil movie, and I know there's going to be a Resident Evil TV show for Netflix.
Yeah, the TV show is animated, just so nobody gets super excited.
Well, you're excited because you like animated shows.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited to watch it.
The new Quiet Place movie.
It should have been released already.
The Matrix.
All these movies which were slated to release already.
Escape Room 2. Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife, that'll be coming out. Thank God, because I've been waiting for that. That was supposed to come out this year, and that didn't. Last Night in Soho, I guess that's a horror psychological thriller. Never heard of that. Willy's Wonderland. Don't know anything about that.
I can't wait for Willy's Wonderland.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah.
Sounds like there's incest in that movie.
Yeah.
That's what the Wonderland is.
I guess it's Disney. I don't know why this is up here. Well, I guess Del Toro's doing a Pinocchio movie, so that's gonna be weird.
yeah, he is.
Yeah.
That has incest too. Geppetto, it'll be like Pinocchio lying to my butthole.
Godzilla vs.
You can't spell Geppetto without pedo.
Yeah, you can't. Was it Godzilla vs. Kong? You know, which I'm kind of.
News.
You know, I'm excited.
You know,
did I fall? I fell asleep in one of them. I don't remember what it was.
King of All Monsters. Yeah, that one was kind of lame, but I like the King Kong, the Kong movie.
Which one had Jack Black?
That was King Kong, but that was the remake of Kong.
The Peter Jackson one. So the new one, the new Godzilla vs. Kong, is actually directed by the guy who did, was it Your Next and The Guest and Blair Witch, the remake Blair Witch, you know.
Movie. I like the remake of Blair Witch.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be decent, you know. It'll be very big in scope and kind of fun. I mean, I'm excited for it. So I don't know. There's a couple other ones. There's a movie called Malignant. James Wan is doing it, so I don't know. There's a few movies that will come out next year, hopefully, if they do don't get pushed to 2022, you know, like a lot of movies are being right now, because I don't understand it. Like, fucking put it on HBO Max, put it on Netflix, put it on Amazon, whatever it is. Yeah, don't put it in theaters, because, and people are like complaining that, you know, that new Wonder Woman movie came out on HBO Max, and Warner Brothers is putting all their movies on HBO Max and in the theaters or whatever. So they're giving theaters a chance, right? But they're like, that's smart movie making right there, right? Because if people don't want to go to the theater, you know, because they're afraid they're going to get the COVID. So
I just think they should just do what they were doing before. Like, they don't have to release it on streaming, because I think, you know, obviously you're probably going to lose out money by putting it on streaming. But just put it out like, what is it, the $20 rentals they've been doing. Yeah. Where you can rent it for $20. Because I'd gladly do that and have my whole family watch it. And we have popcorn and snacks at home. Yeah. I'd gladly pay $20 to watch Halloween Kills.
Well, yeah. what they realized, like Disney realized, was they did that with was it Milan or whatever, where they put it out for like $30.
$30.
They did it for $30. Yeah. So it was stupid of them to do that, because then they realized, oh shit, nobody wants to actually spend $30 on this shit. You know?
Yeah, I mean, $20 when you don't get a subscription. I mean, you're still saving money in the long run, because like, geez, like how, you know, you go to the theater and you're like spending like $50 if you get like two tickets and like popcorn and drinks and, you know, and then just the safety aspect. It's like, I don't want to go out and risk, you know, and plus I don't really want to go out. I mean, because we went to watch a movie in the theater, and it sucks wearing a mask watching a movie. Like, it wasn't a good experience, I thought.
Uh-huh. It's not, I haven't gone to the theater yet, but I kind of don't want to go, you know, right now.
Yeah. You saw the New Mutants in the theater, so not only did we have to suffer through that movie,
hey,
we had to do it while wearing a mask.
I liked the New Mutants. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like, yeah, you would.
It was fun. I don't know. It was not like, I don't know what people were, like, I don't know if they were complaining, because it was kind of, a lot of people I think might have thought it was boring or something, but like.
Yeah, it was boring in the end. Like, no, I hated it when, like, basically she defeated the monster by going, no, no! Boom, done. All right, we're done. Movie's over.
Okay. That
it was a lot of missed opportunity. The action lacked. Like, I don't know. Again, it was one of those movies where I saw what they were trying to do.
Also,
but they just
as a person who's not that into X-Men, I didn't get the Essex stuff, but I felt like that was like if you were into the comics, you would know exactly who these people are or whatever, you know, like, so I kind of was like, I don't know this right now, you know? So like, I watched it going, all right, as a movie with characters who were kind of interesting, like their powers were kind of cool, you know? I dug it, you know? But all in all, I can see why people didn't like it. I don't understand what took so long to put it out, you know, like they were going to put it out a couple years ago or something, you know?
I mean, just behind the scenes politics, of course they ruined it for audiences again.
I think a lot of it was also Disney buying Fox out and stuff.
Yeah. And so that's what I mean. It's a lot of politics.
Yeah. So it took a while for it to come out. And then I think a lot of people were upset because they were just waiting for this for so long. Just like Derek was saying earlier about, like, if, you know, people wait too long, you know, they're going to end up, you know, they're going to end up, like, being bored and not wanting to see it, not caring for it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like, Halloween Kills, I thought they should have released it. I thought it was kind of a big slap in the face that they didn't. Plus, like, at the time, like, I mean, we kind of needed these morale boosters, I feel like. And with people who really enjoy these movies, I feel like, you know, it give it to us. Like, it's something that would help us take our mind off of, you know, the shitty year that we're having. So it kind of made me mad when they decided to not release it over money. Like, they didn't want to release it because they wanted to make the most money they could.
Right. And they're not going to, sadly. Right. They're not, because right now, and I think it's going to be a while that it's going to be like this, but I feel like theaters are going to have it where you're going to be separated. You know, you're not going to be able to sit next to somebody like that, you know? So so you can only put so many people, you can only put like occupancy of less people than you would normally. So you're not going to get, like, you know, you'd have to basically sell out like three more, you know? So that means that a lot of like the titles that might not get as much, you know, love or whatever aren't going to be going to theaters. Only the popular ones are going to go to the theaters because they're going to have to make more room for another theater just to fit more people. You know, like, it's so ridiculous now. Like, it's bad. And people, we need this stuff out because people will spend $20. People will buy HBO Max or rent, you know, download HBO Max, and they will watch these things for that. So all the people complaining that this is going to kill the theater, well, the theater's already been dying, you know?
Yeah, like,
we're lucky. Yeah, we're lucky that they're still around right now. Like, movie stores are gone, pretty much. Like, there might be a few ones left that are mom and pop stores, but the chains are gone. There are no, there's like one remaining.
Yeah, streaming is the new, it's all about streaming.
Well, I was about to say, I think the future really is like shows like The Mandalorian. I think if you take, like, besides making a movie, make like a mini TV, you know, like a TV series, maybe just one season. That's it. You know, I think that's going to be literally what's going to be like where the money goes now, and not any big Hollywood movies anymore.
Because it makes more sense to put Mandalorian out, put it every week. People get excited. People talk about it. I mean, thankfully, I have not seen any like too many spoilers or whatever. Jackie and I are gonna watch it when I get back to LA, you know, we're gonna binge watch it. So I'm excited about that. But that's, you know, that's the thing. Like, that is going to be, you're right, Derek, it's gonna be the new thing. They're gonna make these epic shows that are basically movies for TV, you know, and everything. And people are gonna get to see an hour long movie or so, you know, every week. And that, to me, is a pretty cool, or they get to binge watch them because they're going to just put them out on Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
So
I think that's like the best case scenario of what they should do. Or just like the movies they've already made, since they're not going to make your money, just release them and charge fucking, you know, like I said, charge the fucking $20 rental fees.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If you want to buy it, and then wait till it comes out on streaming. If you want to wait, you know?
Yeah, because I don't know. When Halloween Kills comes out, I don't know if I'm going to go to the theater to watch it, just because, you know, I don't like going to the theater.
Right. Well, yeah, and also a lot of introverts, too. You know, COVID's really messing up people, because, like, a lot of, I mean, I know there's, like, the social people that, you know, miss going out, but I feel like there's a lot more introverts these days, and I think people are really loving the social distance. So I think it's going to be hard to go back. I mean, if we ever do go back, anti-vaxxers.
I mean, I myself hate not being able to like hang out and see people, you know, like, I mean, one of the main reasons like I moved to LA was because I have so many friends out there.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking like socially. I'm talking like going to like events or going to like, the movie theater. Like
even going out to eat is like.
Like I really prefer not going to. I mean, like if movie theaters come back and you have to sit, you know, if they start like sectioning off movie theaters and you don't have to sit next to somebody, that sounds amazing. Actually, like I don't have to share the armrest or like listen to somebody like annoyingly like eat with their mouth open. Like, yeah, awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, so do you think they'll stay that way? Like, let's predict, because this is 2021 that this is coming out. So, like,
I mean, it's going to be that way until COVID is, you know, like,
but even after it's over,
like, well, COVID's never going to be over because we have anti-vaxxers out there. Like, they're going to have the vaccine. Some people are going to take it, some people aren't. So, like, COVID's probably, I mean, it's the next 5 years we're going to still be talking about COVID. So, you know.
So, yeah, so we just gotta like pretty much people gotta just start kind of figuring out how to live like this, you know, like
where, yeah, because I mean, COVID is getting worse. Like, there's new strains now of COVID that's actually even more contagious. Like, COVID's not gonna go away. So,
yeah,
we just have to learn how to adapt to it. And socially distancing is, you know, it's the safest thing to do. It's not the funnest thing to do, but it's the safest thing. And I hate people. I mean, now we're getting, I mean, hey, we talked about a lot of touchy subjects in this podcast, like we normally do on accident. I mean, we get into some stuff. So
I am editing some of the stuff out. Okay.
I mean, I don't know if you should. I mean, nothing was said was bad. I mean, if anything, it just shows that we're socially responsible with our words. So I don't know if you should edit anything out.
But yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't think we said anything that was bad.
Well, no, if anything, it's
few people that will watch.
Nothing was said bad. And I mean, I think it just showed that we're responsible about our words. Like, I mean, we could have went into a tangent, but we decided not to. So I don't know. I don't know if it should be edited out, but COVID is, it's around to stay for a while because people don't take it seriously. So it's going to be here longer because
I wonder
of those people.
If that's what they did when the measles, like when they had a vaccine for the measles, and people were like, nope, I don't want autism.
I just shake my head. Like, I can't, I'm all for pro-choice, but the people that like just refuse other people's safety, I can't.
Right.
I unfortunately am Facebook friends with a lot of people like that, and it's really sad.
Well, that's insane. Just the people who are like, I mean, because I'm reading people being like, I still don't wear no fucking masks anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn, man, it's not that hard. Like, you just put it over your face. Like,
it's just sad in humanity because, like, let's say, like, let's even argue that, let's say we're not sure that it's real. I mean, just, I know it's real, but I'm just saying, like, if there was even a chance, like a small chance that wearing a mask could save somebody else's life, and we have these asshole people who don't even care enough about other people to do that. Like, that says so much about the people that refuse to wear masks. Like, you're an a-hole. Like, the people that refuse to wear masks, you are assholes. I am going on the record and I am saying it.
So I've never gotten tested or anything, but remember back in March? No.
What are we talking about? Tested for
COVID. Obviously. Okay. Okay, let's make that clear. All right. But no, I was, you know, remember back in March, I was coughing and not feeling good and I was sick and I went on live at one point and I just sounded terrible. And Derek gets on there and goes, you got the COVID. I probably did. I never got tested for it or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that like, I tried to say no, but I really felt like shit. And I never tested my temperature or anything, so I don't know if I had one, but I'm pretty sure like I felt like terrible.
Yeah.
So I have this feeling I got it early on. You know, I'm pretty sure I haven't gotten since, and knock on wood, I don't.
You're not a bad person if you get COVID. I mean, that's the thing, is it's like, and you don't have to get tested. Like, if you feel sick, I mean, there's no point in getting tested in all reality.
I just quarantined myself for 14 days.
And that's all you have to do.
I felt sick.
That's all you have to do.
I felt sick. And I said, I'm not leaving the house for 2 weeks because there's no reason for me to leave. I got all the shit here. I packed all my, you know, packed stuff up, you know, right. Stuff.
Turned COVID into a political statement, and that's when it all went downhill, because they made, you know, people are like, well, I'm not going to wear a mask because the government's, you know, they can't tell me what to do. It's like, dude, just let's just talk about other people. Like, fuck the government. Who cares what the, I mean, you know, I'm not saying I wear a mask because that's what the government told me to.
Right.
I wear a mask because I care about other people. And that's the whole grand scheme of it. If you fucking care about people, wear a goddamn mask.
Exactly.
Well, those people are lying. Like, if the mask saves you, or then why do you care if I wear one or not? It's like, no, dude, like, my mask saves you from me. Like, it makes it so,
and
I
then yeah, life. Your mask is gonna save me from you, you know.
Well, like, yeah, and anybody that has goddamn common sense, droplets by a cough or a sneeze, or people who like just spit when they talk, because like I know somebody that is spits when they talk. Like, it's just, that's what the mask is for. Like, just wear a mask, people. It's literally not the end of the world. It's just, you know, like, let's have some humanity in this world and care about people. Like, that's what we're lacking. That's why the world's so shitty these days, because we don't care about other people.
Exactly.
It makes me mad. I'm heated.
Yeah.
Because it's not that hard. It's like a piece of fabric. Like, I don't understand. It's not like we're telling, like, you don't have to do anything, really. You just have to wear a mask. Like,
this is given for free at the door. It's like you're at the fucking door, and it's like, here you go. Here's your
mask. Or even if you forget it, go grab it. You know, you should have a mask with you.
I forget it, and I walk into the store, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, gotta go grab it on my car, you know?
I'm Facebook friends with a lot of people who don't share my same opinion, but I just don't engage with those people. Like, because you can't, there's no point. Like, you're not going to be able to change somebody's mind. Like, so I'm still friends with people that are a-holes, but I'm just not going to engage in it. But my stance is, I think you're an asshole.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, go ahead. If you want to do that yourself, you're going to be in trouble. Like, because masks are mandatory now. Like, they're
nobody's fucking like
enforcing
it. Yeah, it's mandatory here. But every time I go to the store, I always see people without it.
Thank God.
Yeah, and we're at the point now where you can't even ask somebody. Like, you, like, if, like, for example, if I was in like the store and I saw somebody who didn't wear a mask and they were coughing, I would be the a-hole if I was like, hey, sir or madam, can you please put your mask on? They would probably want to fight me or beat me up for me just nicely asking them that. So, like, that's where we live in right now, is you can't even ask somebody nicely anything.
Right. They just freak out. But you know what, that's them, you know, all of us just kind of concentrate on ourselves, you know, like, we do our shit, you know. I feel like that's the beautiful thing, is like, we can make people aware on like social media, you know, like I've said on social media, please wear your mask. That's it. Like, and don't, you know, don't be an asshole. You know what I mean? Like,
it seems like everybody knows already though. Like, everybody who, like, they know that they should be wearing it because that's what I'm still saying, but they think it's an attack on their freedom.
Well, you know what? They're lucky to be living in a country right now. Like, and then people from all over the world, too, have, you know, said this. I don't know. Whatever. I'm not.
What's
you know,
it saying is they're all bitching, wanting things to return back to normal, but they're not willing. Like, they're like, oh, it's an attack on my freedom. And it's like, look, everything's fucking closed down because of you people.
Well, yeah. Okay. Like, so, last thing I'll share is about this is that I went from LA to Virginia, you know, and Virginia has less of a, you know, issue, right? Or whatever. And I went and I gathered with Paul. We would do like, you know, we would do podcasts together, and I got yelled at by a friend of mine. Won't say who, but I got yelled at by a friend of mine for being a moron, for not social distancing enough, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, I'm in Virginia, which is a better, you know, a better thing, but B, like, don't tell me what to like do in that perspective. Like, we wear our masks when we need to wear our masks. We sit 6 feet, you know, away from each other. We do, you know, we do the things we need to do. So like, I get really frustrated with the way that people are just getting nasty about everything.
And a lot of people who say stuff are just ignorant, because I've actually seen that too, where people tend to forget that if you're socially distanced, you don't have to wear your mask though. Like that's the thing. Like that is the rule. Like 6 to 10 feet, you don't have to wear your mask. If you can't be 6 to 10 feet away from somebody, that's when you should be wearing your mask. Like,
right.
Because I mean, I work in healthcare. So, you know, I have also been witness to people saying, oh, well, you know, why aren't you guys wearing your mask when we're sitting in a conference room and we're 10 feet apart? It's like, well, because we're fucking 10 feet apart, you fucking moron. Like, yeah. God.
It's that. And I understand, look, LA has it bad. I mean, we don't have any ICUs, you know, right now. Like we're like that bad of a place. I get it, you know, but I came to a place that's a lot better. I'm going back to LA on Tuesday. So I am going to be going right back into the frying pan, but it's, you know, like I understand. And when I'm around, like I put my fucking mask on, you know, but when I go for a walk or something, like I went walking around, I didn't have my mask on. Neither does anybody else, you know, like it's not, you know, like, I don't know. It's such a touchy.
Well, yeah, subject. I mean, you don't have to live in a big city. Like we live in the Midwest. We even live in Peoria, Illinois, and Peoria, Illinois has one of the highest COVID rates there is. So, I mean, we have a little small town that our ICUs are just, you know, overrun by people dying. It's not just like, you know, I also hate when the people get COVID and they have a mild case and then they're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm happy that you had a mild case. However, there are people that do get mild cases, but unfortunately, there are people that get, you know, severe cases. Yeah, and there's people that die. Well, it just depends on the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on the person.
Existing conditions of the person, the age of the person, the health of the person. Like, there's so many different factors, and the people that are just trying to lessen, you know, the severity of COVID are the problem. Like, stop. Like,
yep.
Stop saying it's not that bad. Like, remember when Trump had COVID for 2 days? Like, I was like, what?
Well, even he said in a post, oh, it wasn't that bad. It's like, well, you went to the fucking hospital, dude, for air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like somebody who, you know, has a platform.
Like,
I mean,
the normal person is not going to be able to, like, you know, monitor themselves that much or if they need to go to the hospital for air because, you know, people who, you know, are uninsured usually just don't go to the hospital. They're like, well, I'm either going to die or not.
Yeah. All right, it's just sad. I wish all the naysayers could spend, like, I wish they could just tour the ICU and just see, you know, people crying, watching their loved ones die, or just watching people suffer. I mean, it's not being able not to breathe is not the best way to die.
True.
So I wish people would think of that. Like having to get morphine because you can't breathe and just the morphine is what makes you comfortable so you can die comfortably. It's just not that. That's the reality of COVID.
So we did it again. We talked about what we had to talk about. And then we went on to like 10 different tangents.
I mean, the two people that are listening expect this.
Yeah.
They know us. They're gonna like talk about their actual podcast title for like 5 minutes and then the rest will just be like random shit.
I know, that's kind of what our show's about, but I'm excited for next year and for the next episode. I'm not sure what you're gonna have planned yet. I don't think you even know what you're gonna have planned
yet. I don't, but I do know, however, it will not be a Blumhouse movie.
Thank God.
So slim pickings though, because it seems like everything's fucking Blumhouse.
I don't know. Is there anything new to talk about? Like, I mean, I thought that's what this was whole
the Creepshow Christmas special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll come up with something, guys.
Yeah, I'm sure, Sam will. we'll figure something. We'll figure something good out.
Maybe we can get Chris and Julia on this one.
I hope so. We need to get more guests, you know.
I miss stuff. Chris and Julia.
Yeah, so let's get them back on. Let's get more guests that we have in the film world, you know. You have some more people that we know. Like, I loved having Crystal on.
Yeah.
I'll be working with Crystal in March for Tales from Echo Lake. So,
yeah,
really excited to work with her. And she'll be playing your sister, you know, so she'll be playing Rain with Stroh. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be nice. I mean, we look way more like sisters, I mean, than like short little Asian boys. Sorry. Don't edit that out.
I'm not.
Don't do it. I mean, really, I mean, because I mean, I don't have my red hair now, but I will be having my red hair. So, I mean, it'll be, you know.
It'll be back to red, right?
Yeah.
You look more like Crystal. Yeah, I'm excited. I can't. It'll be my first time working with her. So, and her, it'll be her first time as Rain. So, see the difference that she'll play. And then we'll hopefully have some more stuff going on later this year. And hopefully we'll be back to work. And I know you guys are got some opening shots done for your little movie. So,
yeah, My Girlfriend, the Serial Killer. Yeah. We officially started, getting our opening establishing shots. And then as soon as it snows in the Midwest, which who knows when that is, but it'll be sometime in January, we're going to actually film one of our opening scenes. So we're excited about that.
How long does it snow in there? Does it snow for like March, April, or what?
Yeah, it usually snows January, February, March, and then April, and then you think it's done, and then in May, like the first week of May, there'll be like a blizzard, and then it's summer. Like that's what happens.
That goes from snow to summer.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's very, you know, it's the hardest thing about shooting any kind of seasonal movie in the Midwest, because it's like, I mean, one day it could be a blizzard, and the next day it's like pouring, and then the next day it's like 80.
Well, all the snow in Black Christmas was fake, so we could
do that. I mean, yep. We can do fakes now. It's fine.
Well, all right. Well, thank you for coming back on and doing this again and everything. I'm really excited. I'm excited about the new year, and I'm hoping that things get, I mean, it's going to take a little while, but, you know, I'm kind of hoping things get back to normal-ish, you know, for a little bit. So we'll see how things kind of develop. If anybody has ideas for us to talk about or something, maybe we'll do one like after yours. We'll do one where if somebody has a movie or something they'd like us to review.
Yeah, give us suggestions. Go to our Facebook page, give us suggestions, and then also give us some feedback about The Vampire Rapist, because I want to know more about this vampire rapist.
Also, check out our Patreon. It'll be down at the bottom, but the more money that's spent on Patreon helps out shows like this, helps out Indie Film Cafe in general, and we're just trying so hard to understand. And also understand, if you do Patreon, Paul and I are doing like Patreon only ones. We just did one today that actually should air at the same time, so same day as this one, which will be the Star Wars holiday special. So that was fun. And we're gonna do more of those. I'm sure we can get Sam and Derek maybe to join us for one of the really terrible movies that Paul likes to pick, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, the shrinking Paul.
Yeah, holiday special was dope.
Did you see it, Derek? Yeah. When you're the Star Wars holiday
special. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It was so bad that fucking George Lucas tried to find every tape just to burn it.
Yep.
Now it's on YouTube.
Is it still on YouTube?
I don't know. When I saw it was on YouTube.
Yeah, I think people keep putting it back up.
I forgot. I either saw it on YouTube or I legally downloaded it off of like Kazaa or Napster or something.
Kazaa. Does that still exist?
Probably not, but I remember that's how I saw like most of those movies which you weren't allowed to see. Like the Within the Woods, the Evil Dead prequel.
Oh, yeah. Which I'm sad that they don't want that being shown. I remember seeing back
shown because of the music rights.
I saw that on YouTube, and I also saw It's Murder, which is Sam Raimi's detective one with Bruce Campbell. So you check that out. It's actually pretty decent and funny. But anyway, we're gonna end this now, and Sam and Derek just stay on the line. But thank you guys for checking out this podcast, all two of you. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And
Melissa and George.
Okay. That's your new names if you didn't already know them. So check it out and let us know what you guys think. Let us know what else you guys want to hear. All right, and have a nice day. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys. Thanks for tuning in.